Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is finally Friday. The date is August 23rd as we prepare for a nice weekend. Actually, it's not a long weekend. That one comes next week, right, Or?
Yeah.
Are you ready for Labor Day?
Oh, my God.
What?
I'm so excited.
Really? You got big plans?
There's a few pools.
Yeah.
You know my
love for
pools.
So you're
going to
do like a pool tour.
Yeah, I'm going to do a pool tour is what I'm going to do. I have a whole plan set up.
So, you know, I always open the show and I have pages in front of me here, and I'm looking at a woman holding a pair of panties right now. And what the headline is, nearly half of all Americans have worn the same underwear for days, a study claims. So, you know, I mean,
that's one way to start.
You could go through your life without knowing that, but I thought it was pretty interesting stuff.
Yeah.
Because that is gross.
I mean, the question
for at least
is,
2 days.
Do they flip them?
They don't flip anything. They just, people throw, these are probably the people that throw their clothes all over the floor and stuff.
I mean, there's a lot of homeless people, too.
This is not about homeless people.
Who are you referring to?
They're just talking about Americans. Class. They surveyed 2,000
people. 2,000
people
didn't change their underwear for
at
few
least
days.
No, at least twice.
Twice.
I mean, 2 days in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's pretty gross. She's like, "Have I done that?"
I don't think I've done that. The most extreme I did is flip them.
Yeah.
Once or
okay,
twice.
Okay, so that makes sense.
But not for a few days.
I know
it
that's
wasn't
crazy.
A few,
right?
A few days. That's a bit excessive.
I mean, come on, you know, it's
guys,
like, what is
this?
Guys,
change your underwear.
Exactly. You know, what is this? You know, you can't, like, be gross like that. But this is a personal thing. Nobody else knows,
I wonder,
so what do they care, right?
Yeah.
And this is just half. Maybe some people didn't even admit to doing it, you know, so.
Yeah.
There you go, you know.
Yeah. Jesus. I don't want to get in the pool with these people, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, thank you for joining us, everybody. We have a guest in the studio. We'll bring her on in just a moment, and we're going to be talking about relationships and our favorite topics here, dating and men and women and all the other genders. How many genders are there now? Like 9?
What?
Netflix divided their thing. I just read.
Really?
Yeah, 9 different genders.
I thought there was like 3, like female, male, and both. And none. Okay, there's 4. Female.
Come on.
Male.
There's men and women. That's it. Okay, Ethan's here, so I'm going to go. Okay, so let me introduce our guest right now. We're joined by Christine Baumgartner. Welcome to the show, Christine.
Hi, Sam and Orr. It's really wonderful to be here and see your smiley faces in person.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we're always smiley here. So, Christine, you're a dating and relationship coach. And you're going to talk to us about a lot of relationships and everything else, which we like because everybody deals with this stuff. Mm-hmm. So I'll let you guys pick up. Let me ask you this. I don't want to really miss out about your background, but just explain to the people really what you do in your business, in your practice. And then you guys just carry it for 2 seconds, okay?
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
It's just us girls now.
I know.
We can talk shit.
Yes, we can.
So you're a relationship coach.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me more about it. Tell me the background. What led you? Like, did you have a different career before? Is that what you did since you were young? I want to know the details.
Okay. So, actually, I've always been a really good listener.
Uh-huh.
People told me I was a really good listener even when I was a kid. Uh-huh. And boys at that point, they were boys when I was young, they weren't men yet, really liked talking to me as friends. Uh-huh. And the thing that I learned really early on was generally, I'm going to speak in generalities, but it's the majority generalities, that good guys tell us the truth. That when they say, this is what I'm doing, this is how I'm feeling, this is what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
It's the truth.
Yeah.
And a lot of what I talk about is how men and women look at relationships and communication so differently.
Yeah.
Right. So you do admit there's only two genders, men and women, right? You know, what is this, all this like politically correct stuff? I mean, look, there's male and female. There's men and women. That's it. Everything else is not, it's not a sex. It's not like how you were born. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, some people change it.
Yeah.
How do you explain somebody that insists that he's a female so much that they cut their parts off?
Right.
You can't. I don't know. Argue with that.
Okay, that's, so he's choosing to become a different sex. But what I'm saying is,
he was born a male.
Okay, male, now he's female, right? Uh-huh. So it's only male and female. There's nothing else. There's no spectrum for gender.
You are going to get so many texts.
That's okay. That's okay. I mean, I have my views and I stand by it. Uh-huh. You know, there you go.
I like it.
Yeah. I mean, I've got nothing against transgender. They can do whatever they want. But when we define it, you define it as, I don't think they want to be considered like two sexes or neither sex, you know. I mean, they identify with one or another, you know. But I mean, God made us man and woman. That's it.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway.
Okay. I think I read a story about a boy, but he's six and he's a girl.
Really?
How would you explain a six-year-old? He's a six-year-old, so I guess some people claim they were just born into the wrong gender. So according to what you say, which I get, is like, yeah, there's two gender, and you're saying that you were just born to the one you shouldn't be born at.
Do you think a six-year-old should be allowed to decide at that point that they should change their sex?
I mean, what's allowed to decide? So they're going to wear dresses?
What's a six-year-old, though?
Yeah, but a six-year-old...
They can't make decisions. Like, they don't even know what sexuality is.
So when they grow up, they change their mind.
Okay.
But as parents, you got the boy wants to do... to be a girl, what are you going to do?
Right. So later on, when you're on your own and you're at an age that you can make decisions and consent, then you can do it. But what do you think, Christine? What do you think?
About the six-year-old?
Yeah.
I just want to make sure I was answering the question you
asked. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No. This is what I do. I clarify with people. You can tell this is what I do for a living. So my personal opinion is, I think that the six-year-old can do whatever they want to at home.
Right.
And I think out in the world when you're six, as your story when you were six, it's hard being six.
It's hard being six.
Especially nowadays.
Right.
So to go out in the world and be the most way of connecting with other people and fitting in a way that you can feel connected and heard and seen, because it is the most core need for people. You found that when you were growing up.
Well, I told her the story that when I was 6 years old, I'm a first child and I had lice. Mm-hmm. So my mom freaked out. She didn't know what to do. She cut all my hair out.
Yeah.
And so I went to the kindergarten, and you know, it's six. The hair is the only thing that really distinguishes a boy and a girl at that age.
Right.
So the girls didn't want to play with me anymore because I had a boy's hair. Yeah. And the boys remembered that I'm not a boy. So, So I told that's the first time that I discovered comedy, because what I did is start doing impressions. It started making people laugh. And then I saw that they didn't care what it was.
Yeah, good.
I was just funny.
So you figured out how to fit in. So
we know how to adapt,
For this six-year-old that wants to wear dresses and bows in his hair, possibly, it would be really hard to go to school like that. So, okay, at home, dress like that. Mm-hmm. When you're going out, dress in a more boy fashion until you get older. Because everyone often, as they're growing up, can have different feelings about their sexuality and exploring other options. But it doesn't mean that that's who they're going to be as an adult.
Yeah, it's an exploration.
Yes.
It's a journey.
Don't decide. Now, I have a very good friend who's not quite my age, who said she knew as a child that she was gay. And her mom said she knew she was gay. And she worked at trying to date boys and be with boys as she was growing up, because she said, I don't know until I get older if this is really the truth. Right. It turns out it was the truth from forever. It's like Lady Gaga, she was born that way.
Right.
And so my conversation about that is, do the best you can to see if this is how you really are, and explore. and have options and have conversations with people and don't make a decision until you are more adult.
Yes.
Right.
That's
yeah.
my thought about it.
Yes.
Some people only figure it out later in their lives or willing to really face it, you know, maybe just discover it. I don't know, you know, but I know my daughter came out in a very nonchalant kind of way to me, but that was at a time when a relationship wasn't that close, but pretty recently, and now she's like totally into it, you know, mm-hmm. into being gay and stuff. And I told her, look, I love you. I have no problem with it, you know. And if people are born that way, then what are you going to do, you know? And mm-hmm. we all come from the same place, you know. So, and God doesn't make mistakes. So I don't think they're a mistake, you know.
Yep.
But at any rate, so, yeah, so you need to embrace this. What do you think? Do you think people are born gay or do you think they become gay? Or
I think they're... I don't know, cause like I said, I had my aunt mm-hmm. that was married, and now she has kids, and now she lives with she got divorced, and now she lives with a woman. But on the other hand, you know, even in the books and the history in the Bible, even they talk about people being gay.
Mm-hmm.
So these sexual orientations have been existing before all of us were born.
Well, of course, but the question is. What do you think, Christine? Is it are you born gay, or do you think it's something you develop later in life?
So I don't know, really. The people I've talked to that are close to me that are gay said they knew.
They knew.
Right.
Yeah.
And they decided to acknowledge it really later in their life.
Yeah.
Mm. Now, I've also met, not close friends, but met people who really were perfectly content being a heterosexual person, and then something happened in their life, a trauma possibly, that had them say, no, I want to be with the opposite sex. Sometimes it's just their life changes, they're having a big shift in their life, that you're going to now have multiple people in your life. I have a friend who's doing that. She and her husband have an agreement. They're still happily married. They've included other people in their life. They both have a boyfriend and a girlfriend. Everybody comes to Thanksgiving dinner.
That's nice.
Uh-huh.
That's interesting.
There's all kinds of families
all kinds of ways to do it.
I
think once you're an adult,
you can do whatever you want.
You can then decide. You look at what's going on in your life and what you think will work for you, and you have a discussion with the other people in your life because it can be so hard on the kids. They have a 13-year-old who's perfectly fine with it because all her questions were, because this is what kids ask, are you guys staying together? Mm-hmm. Will we still have our house? Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm fine with it. Let's move on.
Yeah.
Because that's all really kids care about, that there's somebody still there and her parents still love her and her intact family's not changing. Well, there's just more people to love. Okay.
That's interesting. I like that.
Yeah.
Get a boyfriend after about 20 years of marriage. You can't see your husband anyway. You're like, both of you are just like annoyed with each other or whatever.
No, it's made their marriage even better.
I bet. I know a few married couple that... I think it
might
would
work for them.
I think there's more like open marriages today, or at least people are admitting it, you know? And
there's lots of options.
Right, different options, and people
like
explore
the
everything.
Gender thing. There's lots of options.
Yeah.
And plus, you know, I'm reading a book called Microtrends Squared, okay? And there was a book 10 years ago, Microtrends and stuff, and They try to figure out like which way we're going, where we are now and stuff and everything. And he talks about how people like cohabitate. They would, even people living in the same house, prefer sometimes to be in separate beds, do their separate things. And they're a couple, though. They love each other. They do things together, but they also want to maintain their own little thing. I think that's me, you know. I mean, I don't know that I'd go as far as two separate bedrooms. But still, or separate lovers or anything. But yeah, if I want to go on a trip or something and just with a friend or by myself, it should be cool, you know?
Well, there's another trend that's happening right now.
Yeah.
In the dating, moving into a relationship, it's called living apart together.
Right. That's what I meant.
And so they actually have separate
different
houses.
Cities, right? Well, or sometimes different cities too.
Sometimes, but.
Yeah.
So
different houses in the same
relationship.
Right. But you're talking about living in the same town.
Oh, my neighbor.
Right.
they live 4 miles apart.
Yeah.
They're engaged, happily engaged.
Right.
At their age and financial situation, getting married wouldn't be financially sound. Mm-hmm. So they'll just be engaged because she likes having the ring that says, I'm not available for anybody else, because they're not interested in having other people in their relationship.
Yeah.
But they like having their separate house. They see each other every day. They spend the night together every night. But they like having their, and if you're in a financial place that's comfortable, you know, you can still pay for all your own bills and live apart. It really works for them.
Yeah.
He's a very techy guy and his house is all full of all this techy stuff. And she likes having her house a little more girly and neat, but it really works for them. And they've been doing this for 4 years.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
No, it works. It works. I know. I've been through it too. And I think actually it lets you like keep your own individuality. You don't become too enmeshed with each other, you know. And you know, I mean, it can get to you after like 20 years. You see the person's every, you know, nook and cranny. I mean, what the hell? You know, it's like, you know, that's everything about them, every smell, every this. They say familiarity breeds contempt. I mean, I wouldn't go as far as contempt, but what I would say is, yeah, you might get tired of it, you know? And when you have like separate lives, I mean, people even swear by long distance relationships, you know? Mm-hmm. And because they're like, we always look forward to each other and we make plans and all this.
I can't do that.
I know.
I had that one time and I was like,
no, it sucks, man, because you want to be next to them like, let's say right now, or go see them, or go out with them. You can't. It all has to be planned in advance, and then you have to really have to look forward to it all the time and the anticipation and everything, which can be nice, but it's also frustrating. Mm-hmm. I've tried that, you know. I mean, I flew to Toronto like every month or month and a half or something, you know, and it was, no, it's too much.
Well, one of the big things I talk about with my clients is you need to figure out what works for you. Mm-hmm. What makes you happy? So if we just talk about that subject, how much time do you need to be with somebody? How much time do you need alone?
Right.
And then you have that conversation with the other person. How much time do you need alone? And how much time do you want with the person?
Right.
Because if you're in a relationship and you like being attached at the hip, that really works for you.
Right.
You need to find somebody that likes being attached at the hip because it works for them.
Right.
And it really can work. I know couples that have been married a long time do everything together. I mean, they do have separate jobs, but generally they do everything together. Mm. And they don't do anything that doesn't include the other person. It works for them. Mm-hmm. They're so happy. They're not annoyed with each other. They don't get on each other's nerves. It really works.
Yeah.
But then if you're the kind of person that you need a little space, you need some time to yourself, then you need to find somebody that's okay with that too.
Right.
That they have enough interests and activities and friends that they can go do other things that don't include you. And then you bring that information back. You get to talk about, well, what did you do today? That was really fun.
Right.
Well, I want to hear more about that.
Right.
But so first, everything is always an inside job.
Yeah.
It's such a big foundation of my coaching that
if
you don't know who you are first, and then you don't know what you want, then, as it did for me, the wrong thing for you is going to keep showing up.
Yeah.
That's exactly what happened for me.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So how did you come out of that? How did you emerge out of that situation?
I know.
It
taught me to be a coach.
Yeah.
So I got married when I was 18, and I was married for 13 years, and I discovered I liked being married. But I married the wrong person for me. Mm. Mm-hmm. I said...
At 18, you usually do, right?
Oh, please.
Because you're a different person.
Yeah.
Well, and at 18, truly,
you're still
I saw a bumper
kid.
Sticker once that said, hire a teenager, will I still know everything? Because we think we know everything.
Yeah.
Well, then when I get divorced at 31, I'm like, I know nothing.
Yeah.
It was amazing how little I figured out I knew.
Right, right.
So I married somebody that I thought I was really insecure and didn't acknowledge the gifts that I already really had. And I thought, oh, they have them. So they'll bring them and make my life feel more full.
Mm.
So I realized later that I was a half a person, like half a circle. And they were half a person, a half a circle. And I thought, oh, good. We'll just go together and make a whole circle. But that doesn't work.
Right.
You need two whole circles in order to have a really cohesive.
That's true. You can't be like, if you become one, then when you separate, you're two half people. You know, that's the way I look at it.
Yeah.
So you got to keep boundaries, I think, also, you know, between people and stuff. So that's very interesting. So, Christine, how long have you been practicing this now, helping people and couples?
For 11 years.
11 years?
Yeah.
Wow. How did you get into it? You decided I better be a coach, like you said, right?
No. No. It's such a thing that just sort of happened. So I dated for a really long time between my marriages, and I perfected dating the wrong kind of men for me. I was an expert at it. I could have gotten a gold medal. And happen is my friends would all say, so what do you think of the guys that you're dating? Because I dated a lot. And I'd say, oh, he's really nice. And I definitely did date generally really nice men. But I'd say, you know, I wouldn't marry him. But at that point in my life, I didn't want to get married. I'd started a company. I worked a lot of hours. Getting married wasn't really on the agenda. So then I turned 50, and online dating was just starting to be popular, and a girlfriend and I joined. And what was really cool about then was there were way more men than women, because men just jump in.
Right.
Fearless. Yeah. We're so nervous and scared.
Especially with technology in the beginning.
Oh,
yeah. There were not a lot of women.
It's like the
online.
Wild, Wild West.
Yeah.
Yes. In fact, they
for
were
women.
They gave us all free memberships because they wanted so many more women to be part of
right,
online dating.
Right. I think they still should. I mean, I think half the women on those dating sites are fake, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you don't get like, you know, no matches. I mean, I don't know what the hell has happened lately. But that's lately. It
Sam
never
doesn't
happened
get
like
matches
that.
Lately, and he's been very frustrated. Yeah,
very frustrated.
Maybe we need to talk about that.
But the thing is that no, I don't know. The thing is, I don't think I'm ready for one, and that's why I'm not doing much about it, you know, because I'm so friggin' busy. When would I don't even have time to talk to them on the phone when I do match, you know, it's like I'm out of here. It's 10 o'clock at night. It's already late. So I need to cut down on the work somehow.
Yeah, dating
I don't know
does
how,
take
but
time.
It does. Yeah. And, you know, people expect you, like, I expect her to be available, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that's why you're getting into a relationship. So I just think I haven't looked hard enough, you know, and I'm not doing what it takes.
Well, part of it is setting aside the time.
Yeah.
To write a profile, read other profiles, write to women, talk to them, either email, text, or on the phone.
Yeah, but on Bumble, you have to wait for them to even... I'm talking about matches, not even going to the next stage yet. Of course, you get to the phone and text, but, you know, but the thing is that a friggin' original match, what's going on here, you know? So, but, no, and it's just lately, I don't know. I mean, it used to be, it didn't used to be like that. There would be times where I was talking to three women at the same time. Yeah. And that's when I also realized, when you go out with people, they're already in touch with several others, you know?
Yeah.
They don't know. You're one of the ones they're trying to see if it works.
Yeah.
So you have to think about that, you know, and realize that you're not the only one in contention right now.
That's true.
You
and
know
isn't
what
that
saying?
The way it should be? Like when you were interviewing.
Right.
You want to interview a bunch of people.
No,
if
absolutely.
You're going to go look for a job. You want to interview.
Right.
But don't you think it cheapens it?
No.
A little bit.
No.
But you see, the first
time. I have a
few
girlfriends that's what they express, that they feel like it just cheapens the whole thing, that, you know, it's so easy. It's just like a swipe, and they don't feel as worthy as they could of, like, a man physically wooing them.
Okay.
You know?
So I'm going to tell you, we're going to go back to the foundation, right?
Yeah.
It's an inside job. If someone didn't write back to me, I never took it personally. I never took it personally.
But what do you mean? It's so personal.
Right. It's so not personal.
Why?
And that's the problem.
Okay. Right.
That I just somehow knew. I know everybody takes it personally. And I'm here to explain why it's not personal.
Okay, all the girls that are listening, I know you want to know this.
Yes.
So,
it is so not personal.
Okay, I want to know it.
Yeah, it's more like, isn't it more like a numbers game type of thing,
such
right?
A numbers game. So
that's what she's trying to say, I think, and I totally agree with that, you know. It's not personal, and that's what I was saying. That's the point I'm trying to say, is that if you're like seeing her on the first date, right, and she's already going on several first dates, it's not personal because she is trying to... she's still choosing between people. You know what I'm saying? No?
We take it personally because we think that they're rejecting us. They're rejecting Orr. They're rejecting Christine. They're rejecting Sam. They're not, because they don't know Orr or Christine.
Right.
Or they know nothing about us.
Exactly.
Nothing.
Right.
They see what we wrote. They see a couple pictures. But because it's our heart, we throw everything out there in the beginning.
Yeah, right.
And that is our mistake.
Yeah.
Because they haven't paid the price.
Yeah.
To see our heart.
Right.
They don't deserve it yet. So when we learn, which is the foundation, the very first thing I start teaching is how to not let this feel personal. Let's pretend, because generally people have gone to one or a bunch of networking events.
Yeah.
Okay. I go to networking events.
Mm-hmm.
There's 50 people there.
Yeah.
Most of them are not going to be interested in my service. They're married happily. They don't even think they want to have relationship coaching. They aren't interested in dating. They're in the middle of a horrible divorce. I mean, there's all these reasons why they wouldn't need my service.
Yeah.
Right.
They don't want to get
there. And none of them are personal.
Not at all. So three people, two people, one person asked for my card. I think that's terrific. I'm not upset. And I know this feels really different. It's a networking event versus, oh my God, it's my heart. But if you can say, oh, it's like networking. Because they don't know me.
Yeah, they
don't. They don't know. They don't know what I could do. They don't know what help I could be.
I feel like it's like a jungle.
They're not ready.
A jungle of pictures, and you just swipe and swipe and swipe and spy. Nobody knows nobody.
But
it's just so cold. The whole thing is cold.
It's supposed to be fun.
It's supposed to be fun. I don't know. I don't have
I make it fun.
I hear just from my girlfriends and also men.
Mm-hmm.
Also, man, just a lot of frustration from just like the way it, you know, it's cool. And you know what? Kids today, they're going to grow up. They won't know how to approach a lady.
Right.
They won't know. Because if now you're so conditioned, the younger generation, to have a screen like a between them and any person, actually, when you think about it, not just women.
Right.
Any person, your employee, your friends, any person, you have this, like, shield.
No personal interaction.
There's no... So...
Right.
So...
Well, let me tell you, I'm 59. I still don't know how to approach a woman. I'm going to therapy for that.
This is what I teach. I teach men and women how to flirt. I teach men and women how to approach each other.
Yeah.
Because if you... Everybody thinks they know how to date.
Right.
And obviously we don't, because we're doing such a bad job at it.
Right. Especially when after you've been married for 15 years or something, you know, things change so much, you know.
Mm-hmm.
When you started, there were no apps. Maybe there was Match and eHarmony and stuff, but there wasn't the swiping thing.
Mm-hmm.
But you said the swiping thing sort of cheapens it and stuff. But the thing is, you have to understand something. At least it exposes you to a lot of people. Mm-hmm. So when it becomes a numbers game, you go, you know what? I go through a lot of people, but maybe something's going to match, you know?
Right.
And like I said, it used to for me, for crying out loud, you know?
He still is.
I mean, you get into relationships with that. But no, because today it's like with me, I can't really find the time to go out. And even if I do, though, where do you go to find the opposite sex, you know, because you don't necessarily want to pick up someone who goes to bars. I'm not a bar hopper, you know. I mean, I don't know what the hell.
There's
lots
of places to meet single
really?
People. Lots. Along with online dating. Because online dating still is the biggest pool of single people
out
there.
That's true.
Yeah.
And if you learn how to use online dating safely, securely, and stop taking it personally...
Yeah, right.
It can really be fun,
because right.
that's what I figured out. Every single thing I teach is what I had to learn on my own.
Right.
Yeah. So I learned how to make it fun. But some of the places that singles can meet are meetup.com is a wonderful resource. It's a free website that you join, and then you put in your zip code, and then you look at your interests. So you like hiking, biking, cooking. You have a dog. You want to find other people that are the same dogs. I mentioned I live in Orange County. There's a group that has yearly passes to Disneyland, and they just go on the little website and say, who's going to go to Disneyland this weekend? And then you have a bunch of people to go with.
Yeah.
That's
it is a wonderful resource to go meet people that it's something you're already interested. It's called Meetup.
Meetup. Oh, I know Meetup. Meetup. I know Meetup.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful resource. Yeah. Because if you're already interested in this activity, you're going to now guaranteed meet people that are interested
in that activity, like biking, for example.
Yeah. You
know, I look for people to, you know, to ride my bicycle with sometimes. Mm-hmm. And even go on trips and stuff, you know. Like I'm going this weekend to Lake Isabella, Kern River, okay? Which is, I know we digress, but the point is, I'm trying to make is, I'm going by myself because everybody else is busy, you know? Everybody's doing other things. So what am I, not going to go? So I'm going, you know? But it would have been cool to find somebody to, you know, in a similar group that wants to go.
Go to Meetup. Maybe this. They'll go with
you. Well, that's what I'm doing. I mean, I'm going to do this now.
So you think
about... She just opened like a big resource for us.
Your pool of people. Mm-hmm. That's all you know. Well, now meetup.com gives you a whole nother pool of people.
Right.
So now let's say you go to a biking event.
Right.
And one of the cool things is you can look and see all the people that are part of that group and then all the people that are coming to that specific Saturday event afternoon at Griffith Park event. And you can see how many women.
Right.
How many men.
And who they are, right?
Other groups that they belong and stuff, to, sure. Yeah. And... Yeah. What happens is when you go talk to women, you talk to men, what other meetups are you part of? What other groups?
Yeah.
So then you keep expanding your pool of people.
Yeah.
I have clients that have to turn down because they have three or four things they get invited to
on
the weekend through Meetup.
That's true, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So you see, so that's like the dating apps, but without the pressure of dating.
That's much better.
Without the sexual tension in the beginning.
Yeah.
So, you know, let's say you ride a bike with a group of people. Mm-hmm. And so you're there, hey, I'm here to bike, but I like you, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Especially for women.
Uh-huh.
Because our most important thing we think about is our safety. Because half of the population is bigger and stronger than us. And we're not assuming that you're going to hurt us. It's still in our DNA to protect ourselves.
That's true.
So we like going to a place where we've seen the faces of people. There's an organizer that's hopefully going to look out for us. It's in the daytime. Because the thing is, the way we used to meet people was in our neighborhoods, at school, at work.
So we already have similar interests. Our kids were friends.
Yeah, you got to know each other in a group situation.
It was a small sphere, though. Whereas now you can expand to so many other people.
Hopefully.
Right.
Because most of the people drive in their garage and shut the door. And I go, well, UPS and Federal Express, all the people are married. So you need to leave your house.
Yeah. Well, technology definitely has gave us another layer of safety. Like, think about it. Today, you are, like, when I was young, I was told never talk to a stranger. Now I go inside their car.
Yeah.
And they drive me to my home address.
Right.
Like, that's...
And you put your life in danger.
And you really are in their car. Right. And you have no idea. But technology somehow made it okay and made it safe because there's a review system.
Right.
And I don't think there's a review system with Bumble.
But background...
There were ideas to have that, but I think it's pretty bad. But, you know, the technology gives that validation that it's okay to do this, if you think about it, crazy thing.
Right.
Like, it's a crazy thing.
Go on a date from someone on the internet. Can you imagine 10 years ago?
Yeah, people.
If somebody tells you, I'm going to meet this guy.
I did 15 years ago.
Really?
And you know how I did it safely? So this is what I had to learn myself, and then I taught. So when I started 15 years ago. That's when I first did.
That was dangerous back then.
You know when I started?
Not at all.
No?
Because what I did was I went to three local restaurants and I told them, this is what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to meet a man here for the first time and I just want you to look out for me. And they went, okay. So one of them, the manager of the restaurant, I always let them know that I was going to be there and what time. So he would, you know how they'd come around to the table. He'd make sure he came by my table and we'd do the, are you okay? Mm-hmm. And then he'd make sure that our server told him when I was leaving, he'd stand at the door and watch me walk to my car.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
So this is one of the reasons I never had bad experiences because I was so careful.
Right.
Yeah.
I was so careful.
No, I got to tell you. Yeah, yeah. Well, you see,
I want people to be safe.
My girlfriend has met some strange motherfuckers
but
on Tinder.
But But that's bad if she did, because you have a chance to talk to them on the phone first.
There's a whole book.
And you can
book.
Sort them out pretty much, you
there's,
know?
There's a whole book called Tinder Nightmares.
Really?
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
The thing about it is, mm-hmm. because I've now been doing this for 11 years.
Right.
I've heard all the stories. I know they're real. I know terrible things happen. It is a tiny percentage
right,
of people that are out there scamming, looking to take advantage, looking to take money from us, looking to harm us physically. Tiny percent. Now, the thing is, we talk about it a lot, so it looks like a lot.
Yeah.
But it's truly not. It's a small percentage.
Right.
Right.
And the thing that women have even better over men, men have this, but women in spades, and don't pay attention to it. We have an instinct for danger.
That's
that
true.
We ignore. We ignore
that's
it.
That's true, too. Mm.
So if you think about a time when you knew something was wrong and you knew something different was right, pay attention in your body where it feels.
Mm-hmm.
So my right is here. My wrong is here.
Uh-huh.
This is why I never had a bad date. I'd see this profile, great pictures, lovely words, and my thing here would go, no. And I'd go,
yeah.
Okay,
no.
Never mind.
Yeah.
So never did something awful happen. And I have to tell you, the majority of times, not 100%, but the women that I've spoken to that have had honest variety of bad experiences,
yeah,
they knew.
They knew. They had a feeling. It always starts. That she's right. Because mm-hmm. if I now try to remember what my friends say, my girlfriends, most of them were like, you know what? And I had a feeling.
Yeah.
And I had a feeling. I should have just stopped it there. You're right. You're right. Let me ask
Almost
you this.
Almost always.
Do you feel that, you know, now with so many women out there and men out there, there's so many just options out there, it makes it... it opens up a door for cheating? Is there more cheating? Like, you've been doing this for a while. Mm-hmm. Would you think there's like a, that people cheat more now with the apps and stuff? Because it's so easy.
Right. It is easy.
To meet a new person.
But I know times where a lot of people had a lot of affairs. Just nobody knew about
nobody
it.
Nobody knew. Oh, okay. So you're saying.
Yeah. People have been cheating forever, right?
Women often cheat because we don't feel heard. Mm. And cared about
right.
in our relationship. And he could be a really good guy and he's doing his best. Most of them are good guys and they're doing their best. They just don't know how to make us feel that way.
Right.
Because the biggest complaint women have is he never listens. He never listens to what I say. And men cheat because when men haven't listened to us and we're all annoyed, our go-to thing is to stop having sex.
Mm.
Right.
So then he's being deprived of something that keeps him healthy, and so he'll go look for it in another person.
Yeah. Right.
So the biggest complaints I get from men and women are often because we do things differently. We communicate for really different reasons. So I'm going to explain to you how that happens, because it's a really wonderful across-the-board piece of information. Because I'm hoping that the kind of information that I give my clients often – they've never heard it this way before, and they go, oh, it does make sense. So men generally, and you can sure tell me if it's not the truth, generally talk for three reasons. One, to share information. It was on the news, the sports score, something's come up and you really just want to share it. Two, you've gotten an accomplishment. You've won a project, you've completed some sort of a proposal, you've signed on new people for your station. The third reason men talk is you've got a problem. You've been working it out in the back of your head because you really like solving them on your own and you just can't come up with a solution. So you will seek out an expert and you expect the minute you stop talking about your problem, the first word out of that expert's mouth is going to be the information that you need to solve your problem.
Right.
All that sounds kind of familiar to you as a guy.
Yeah, I suppose it does. Yeah.
Okay. So now I'm going to tell you why women talk.
Okay.
Because it's completely different.
Right.
Yeah.
To express feelings.
All our feelings.
Really?
Happy, sad, mad, upset. We just need to get them out.
Right.
We need to talk about our
That's
feelings.
That's the solution.
Yeah.
Get it out.
No, mm-hmm. but
because we do feel better. And then another reason we talk is We want to see how we feel about you, kind of like pinging on a submarine. Mm. So if we're talking to you, we want to see, well, what's your reaction and how are you reacting to me? And are you really paying attention? Do you think I'm important? The third reason is we want to see how we feel about you. Mm. We want to see how we feel about all your reactions, how we feel about how you're being with us, how we, if we touch you, does that feel okay?
Right.
So here we have a problem. The woman comes home from work and she's really upset. Oh my God, the traffic, there was all this construction. I can't believe it. And my boss yelled at me and somebody ate my lunch. And he thinks, oh, I know a really good solution for that.
Right.
Have you tried Waves? And she goes, you're not listening. I'm really upset. I can't believe you're telling me that. That is not helpful.
Right.
And he's thinking, I really did listen, but maybe she didn't like Waves. Maybe she'll like Google Maps. Have you thought about Google Maps? Now I'm really mad. I am so mad. And he's like, I don't understand, because I thought really hard and I really did listen and I really gave her a solution. Okay?
Right.
So now I'm going to give you a superpower and you have to only promise to use it for good.
Right.
Okay? So when you're coming home from work and you're really upset and all that is inside of you, and we've now discussed that women need to get their feelings out to feel better. So we're going to pretend this is completely full to the brim. My bottle of water, you cannot even put an eyedropper more of water in here. That's how our bodies feel. The pressure is unbearable.
Right.
So you really, in your solution mind, want to make us feel better.
Right. You want to fix it.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to tell you how to fix it.
Right.
In a really different way than you would ever imagine.
Right. But you have to show her you're listening, right? Mm-hmm. Not to try to fix it.
No. You be quiet until we... Oh my God, it was so awful in the traffic. And then if you say these three magic words, watch her face.
Right.
Tell me more.
Oh my God, I think I just came a little.
It's the truth.
Say it again, then. We'll see.
You say it. If a guy says it, it's more, even more powerful than me. See?
Ooh, see?
Tell
it.
Me more.
Tell me more.
Because what will happen is, it's as if you've dumped some of the water out of the bottle.
Right.
And the pressure's starting to go down a little. So then... So
I'm going
to
use this like for my... Can I use it for my jokes?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
You can use all my stuff.
I'll refer you. I'll refer you. Got a joke,
I'll credit you. Yeah.
So then...
It's true. Oh, yeah. God, it's true.
So now we're down to here. But the bottle still got pressure and full. So then she's going to... Oh, my God. The boss, he was so awful. I can't believe it. So then you say...
Tell me more.
And she's like, oh, my God, he cares.
Yeah,
he's really listening.
Listen, at some point we need to fuck, though.
We're getting to the bottom of the bottle. We have to get to the bottom of the bottle because that's part of it. It's part of the enticement for them.
Right.
So now you've done this for a while. We've emptied our bottle and we go, wow, I'll feel better. And, oh, my, you're the reason. Mm. So thanks so much for listening. Right. That really helped. And often now... The opposite happens because when we get mad, we shut down physically. Now we're feeling all open like a flower. We're like, oh, yeah, I want to have sex.
Yeah.
Truly.
Yeah.
Truly.
You listen to me.
This is why you have to promise to only use this for good.
Right. So, yeah. So, in essence, it's like you listen to me. Now I'm decompressed. Mm-hmm. And now I'll give you sex.
Yes. Because you were the person. Not only do we feel better.
Yeah.
But you want to make us feel better.
Right.
And you want to offer us a solution. That is the solution. And now we go, wow, thanks. Mm. You're the reason we feel better.
Right.
No men know this unless I've taught them because they would never talk to another man that way.
Right.
They'd get to the solution. They'd offer the fix.
Yeah. Men are fixers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which is lovely when we have a problem that we say, hun, you know, I don't know what to do about this. What do you think? Because we're not all hepped up about it. But if you offer the fix in the middle... The pressure's still there, and now we're going to still be annoyed. You have to wait till we're done, and we will get done, and then we'll go, oh, yeah, I feel so much better.
You know.
Isn't that a helpful thing to learn?
Yeah. For some of you men, I hope you don't just, like, have a recording that every 20 minutes you say, tell me more. You just tape it up to the phone.
Exactly. If you're guaranteed orgasm.
Don't use it. Oh, there's not even a...
If you're guaranteed orgasm, you can do it.
Yeah.
You can say it as many as you want.
But you know what is true? It's true. And I feel like I remember I thought once, like, women cry kind of like it's a release, kind of mm-hmm. like men come in a way, because mm-hmm. we instantly feel better. Mm-hmm. You know what? We sometimes, you know, the men feel so bad when they see a woman crying, but sometimes she needs to cry. Mm-hmm. We're creatures
yeah.
that when we get some, we need to get it out. We need to get it out. Kind of like men need to get it out.
Right.
We need to
you
get
it
out
different ways.
Yes. So men yeah. need to
do you agree?
Know what to do about fixing our crying. So yeah. fixing our crying is a hug. Mm. A hug.
Yeah.
So if it's, you read like the whole different way of looking at dating, like networking, stop taking it personally. So you go, I really want to fix this. I want to fix her being upset. A hug. So because what I tell women, you don't know this often, but they do. Their highest priority is to provide and protect us, provide what we need. They think that this provides by offering these fixes and to protect us from the world. And when they right. madly love us, they will stand in front of a speeding car. So their highest priority within all that is to make us happy, as high as I can reach.
Right.
They really want to make us happy. And right below that, a millimeter is not piss us off. And they have no idea most of the time what pisses us off.
Right.
They
That's
don't.
True. That's for sure true.
So when I teach women how to express to men, this is what I need. This is what would make me happy. This is how it would help me if you talk to me. Men are like, okay, happy. I heard the word happy. You need me to do that to make you happy? So I tell women, let's do the trash. We get really annoyed about the trash. Oh my God, it's overflowing and on the floor, and he doesn't, he's ignoring it. I know he's to piss me off. See, he doesn't want to piss you off, but yeah. we know.
You're thinking that
though. Oh,
way.
Oh, oh.
Yeah.
And every
he's
time
just
we
being
look at
lazy.
It,
he doesn't want to, no. you know, no?
No.
If
well,
I
maybe
didn't take
you
it,
are.
If I, yeah, if I didn't take it out, it's being lazy, but I'm not like that because I live alone yes. and my place is immaculate, you know? So,
me?
But I'm trying to think of someone that would not pick it up. I don't think it's to really piss them off.
No. What I think it is, men, much better than us, use their time, energy, and money for something that has value to them, which is why when they like us, they take us out.
Right.
They use their time, energy, and money. Your value right now seems to be a higher priority about your business
right.
than dating.
Right.
Which is fine.
Right.
It's just a decision. You go, okay, this is my decision.
Right.
We don't pay as much attention to the value of our time, energy, and money. We're much more scattering it around. We do it because we want to help people. We do it because we want them to like us. We
yeah.
don't understand a return on investment. So men won't just necessarily take out the trash unless they have a value attached to it. So he right. has a value because he likes it being clean. But if that's not a priority for a man, then the priority is what? To make us happy.
Right.
So if we say, hon, it would make me so happy
if took out
every
the trash.
Night you took out the trash.
Okay. That's
I know.
Cool. That's
and
cool.
then he said he might grumble a little because yeah. they really would rather it be their idea. So, so you ignore that part. So then he troops out to the dark, messy, stinky trash can. Aren't you so glad you didn't have to do that? And then he comes back and then he's going to stand there because he wants you to say thank you. And we go, why should I say thank you? It's his trash too. Oh my God. And so I say to that, so did you like that he took out the trash and you didn't have to? Mm-hmm. Would you like it to do it again? Mm-hmm. Then say thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Exactly.
Thanks, hon. Oh my yeah. God, you made my night. I have a friend, her husband is the trash king. He makes such a thing about I'm taking out the trash because he knows he's going to get thanked for it.
Yeah.
And isn't it wonderful that he's
they're
taking
like
out
children.
The trash?
Sometimes
very
men
much.
Are like children. You know, you got to give yeah. them rewards
all the time.
Listen,
appreciation.
My motto
appreciate.
Is,
lots of appreciation.
My motto is if it doesn't make you money or make you happy, mm-hmm. fuck it.
What's the
yeah.
point?
Yeah.
Yes. And we, so there's another thing. So women brag, we brag about how long we can wait to pee.
Yeah.
Hours. I can do 12 things.
Really?
Well, I wait. A man would never wait.
Never.
Now, you want to know why?
Because you have to wait in line in the, the public bathrooms.
They don't wait to such extent that they've built just holes for your
yes.
in your guy's bathroom. It's just holes. It's not even like a full toilet.
Right.
It's just a hole. It's like,
exactly.
here you go, just pee.
Exactly.
So, when we were cave people. Mm. So you think about, at any moment outside of your cave, there could be this huge thing, big as a building,
right.
that could harm your family. So the guy needs to be at any moment He needs to be fed, which is why they eat when they're hungry. We don't. We pride ourselves on how we didn't eat anything today. They sleep. They can lay, sit on the couch, and 30 seconds later, they're sound asleep. And the laundry's next to them screaming at us to be folded. And their sound is, how can they be asleep? And they pee when they need to pee. Because in their DNA, they need to go out and protect their family and bring home food. So if you look at it for that reason, we stop going, crap, there he is asleep on the couch again next to the laundry. Oh, yeah. He's resting to protect our family.
Yeah.
Now, if you'd like him to fold the laundry, you say, hon, it would make me so happy if you folded the laundry while you sat there and watched the football game. He'd go, okay, okay.
Wow.
He's not going to necessarily ever want to fold the laundry, but yeah, he wants to make you happy.
Right.
So men do things in a very focused way. So you think about going out and bonking this thing, you have to have a very focused one track at a time mind.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, we really like it when their track is on us.
Yeah.
But then we get really annoyed when it's on the TV.
Yeah.
So Christina, then women.
Finish this idea. Because we're totally out of time. Go ahead. No, but finish this idea.
Our diffuse awareness. Because you think if we're in a cave, we have to watch the kids don't go out the door, don't go in the fire. We have to sort between food and medicine and poison things.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to pay attention to a whole bunch of things at once, which is why when we're cooking, laundry is still screaming at us on the couch. So if you just say, oh my goodness, we're so different.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, how refreshing is that to know that people generally, men and women, are not misbehaving.
But
they're
sometimes
just
men
misunderstanding.
Right.
I, they miss
the point is, listen, we're out of time.
Oh, yes.
There's another show coming after us. I know.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to go for another hour. So we'll have to invite you back, Christine.
I would love that.
There's a lot more to talk about. Tell people if they want to use your services, meet you, get your help, because obviously you know what you're talking
Thank
about.
You.
How can people find it? I see The Perfect Catch is your website.
Mm-hmm. And on my website, they can sign up to have a free conversation with me. At the top, it's What's Holding You Back from Love.
Okay.
They can also sign up for my newsletter that goes out twice a month. And I also have classes. I teach, I do one-on-one coaching, and then I have online classes. And my online classes are starting the 9th, September 9th for men and September 10th for women.
I see.
That's awesome.
Well, it sounds a lot more reasonable to come to you than to my therapist to try to figure it out.
Well,
you
certainly solved, about dating.
You solved a lot of my problems, yeah. No, I mean, I do ask her about dating and stuff because it concerns me, you know.
Mm.
We talk about a lot of different things and stuff. But to be honest with you, after having been married for or off the market for 15 years, you lose a lot of confidence. You don't know what the hell you're doing, you know.
Yes.
And so it's like, and you know me, I have no problem starting conversations with anybody except the woman I want to hit on.
Oh, I understand.
Right?
Whenever it's
so we'll
a
talk
big
about
deal,
that next time.
We freeze.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I teach you how to get past that.
Awesome. So I need the consultation from you, Christine.
Okay.
Christine Baumgartner, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Sam.
Everybody, check out our website, theperfectcatch.com. And you can't forget that name. Which is awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah, I commend you for that too.
Learn how to be one, and then how to attract one.
And your website's got like a wealth of information and videos and everything, right?
Yeah, newsletters, videos,
wow,
lots of tips.
Yeah, very good. Well, check her out. Christine, thank you so much for joining
thank
us.
You.
You're
thank
welcome
you.
Back. Or have a great weekend.
Thank you.
Okay, and go to the dentist or whatever.
Oh,
but
my God.
Yeah. I'm telling you, like I told you before, teeth do not get better. They
okay.
only get worse, you know? A lot of things in the body get better, but teeth, once you have the problem, it only gets worse.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Thank you all for listening. We'll see you all on Monday.
Listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.